You're supposed to say the lines.
Oh, is it? I gotta say that?
Yes.
Public service announcement. Using opinions or other opinions.
Fuck that bullshit. They are my opinions. And my guests. No one else's. Remember, this show ain't for chitlins' ears. So listening discretion and viewing discretion is advised. This is a paranormal horror crime show. So the scenes and the sounds can be a little terrifying to those little ears and those little eyeballs. And of course, there's obviously cussing. I mean, it's me. Please don't do anything that these stupid-ass people do in podcast. This is for entertainment purposes and for you guys to listen with your ears. Consume the knowledge. And now, time for the show. What's up, everybody? It is Shauna with Exploring the Paranormal Perspective and founder of Geeks Paranormal, and I have the awesomeness, fantabulous, rock and roll ghost hunter, Keith H. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, especially since I can spend a Sunday with you.
Aw. I haven't seen you since Arkansas Expo. You've been busy, though.
Oh, I just gotta stay that way.
You try to say it that way?
Yeah, I try.
I understand that. So, explain to some of the people that don't know who you are, who the Rock and Roll Ghost Hunter is.
I can do it.
You want me to do it? All right. This is...
go right on ahead. Here, cheers.
Cheers. I gotta do a shot, y'all. He made me grab my rum. So I gotta do a shot. Let me do a shot real quick. All right, I gotta do it out of the cup because I don't have a shot glass. Where's my shot glass? All right, well, there it is.
Paranormal.
Yep, to the paranormal.
But for those that do not know me, I have been doing this going on 50 years, investigating the paranormal. I've been a musician, a performing musician from the time I was 16. Actually, I started when I was 12. That's when I started playing out locally. And went all over the world, toured the world, and we're talking the 70s. And toured all the way up to the mid-2000s, early 2000s. With various different bands. Me and the Kentucky Headhunters, we all grew up at the same time, and I've played with them, and matter of fact, I'll be seeing them again 1st of July.
Oh.
Ted Nugent, Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh, my gosh.
Heard with Glenn Campbell, Johnny Lee, a little bit of everybody. So, do that, and then I'm also the host of the Spook Series. A lot of people remember that. We did 10, me and the Booth Brothers did 10 movies together, 10 documentaries, and I've been in over 45 different TV shows, and now I'm doing another one of my own. It's called Bourbon Spirits, and we were talking before we went on air.
Yep.
Season 1, final episode in August 19th at the Bell Mansion.
Which is the day after my birthday.
Happy birthday.
I'm gonna have to try to make it out there. That'll be a fun time.
If you come to the Bell, I'll make sure we got strippers and cake and
I'm definitely not the man now. Just for me. Well, like, you were talking about doing stuff with the Booth Brothers, but you also have something else coming up, and I want to talk more about that with you and Pat Fitzhugh. But you are also doing the Bell, something on the Bell Mansion, or the Bell Witch. I'm sorry, the Bell Witch.
Get your stuff straight.
I'm sorry, I'm trying.
Look at that, you made my earphone walk out. My production company that I own is called Black Leather Production, and JC Rositas is my partner. He has Crimson Knight Production, and we've done several things together. We're finishing up this Bourbon Spirits. We're also have another documentary in place called Rusty Inns, The Last of the Boogeymen. And Rusty's kind of a local musical staple around here. A lot of people learn from me. He taught me how to play, and he's still out there jamming away. Oh. And so we're doing that. And then with Pat, we're doing something with him called The Bell Witch, The Past and Beyond. And it's a different take on The Bell Witch. Something, you know, most people just get up here and do the history, which we'll do the history, but then we're going to take it further than that. But Pat's a longtime friend. Matter of fact, he was at the very first Mid-South Paranormal Convention I had. He was one of my very first guests.
Oh, that's how I bagged you, actually, on a previous podcast that I really don't promote. That would
that happened a long time ago.
It happened a long time ago, yes. But that's how I met you. I met you through an interview on there, and then we met you in person at Mid-South. And yep. Back in 2018, gosh, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. It really doesn't, but then again, it seems like it's been forever.
You know, I can get up, time is weird. I can get up here and say something happened 3 weeks ago and it was 5 years ago, you know.
All right. Sometimes it feels that way. It really does.
Old.
I believe it. You know,
Somebody I was talking to the other day, and they're like going, how come you don't do this anymore? I said, because I'm 60 now, and I'm not the maverick I was 20 years ago, you know.
That's about me in concerts. I don't hardly go to concerts anymore because my knee was giving me hell then. I can only imagine standing up there all day now at some kind of rock fest.
Yeah. Last one we went to was a buddy of mine, Jesse, I've forgotten the name now. Anyway, yeah, standing there for the 3.5 hours was just like, okay, I need a drink.
Right? Exactly. I need something to smooth these joints.
Yeah, the bar's right over there. I'm going to do it. Anyway, his real name is Jesse Dupree, and y'all might know him better. Like I said, I'll think of the name of the band in a minute.
I think you posted on that not too long ago, didn't you?
I'm sorry?
Didn't you just post on that concert not too long ago? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He plays he's from Indiana, and that's, we met when we were teenagers, and matter of fact, a lot of stuff you see him at is Sturgis, and he has what's called the Chainsaw Mafia, where he brings a chainsaw out on stage and plays with the chainsaw and cuts things up, and like I said, if you've ever seen a TV show about Sturgis, he is part owner of that place. Not Buffalo Chip, Lord. It's terrible getting old, and I'm tired, so
I understand.
I'll think of it now, you know.
I'll forget everything.
Yeah, if I come up and while we're talking about something else, and I go, oh, here it is. just bear with me.
No, you're fine. I do that too. So I'm right with you. Well, you were talking about you have over 50 years of experience in the paranormal.
Yes, man. Almost, yeah.
So when was your first experience at?
Okay, when and where was here in Louisville. I was 16 years old. And you got to remember, this was the 70s. The 1970s. everything was sex, drugs, and rock and roll back then. You know, yeah. I was, you know, I'm a teenager, and music was my life, you know. And I went and got off tour with the band I was on, and come home, met this little girl, and she never would take me to let me meet mom and dad.
Oh,
I just figured because I had hair down past my butt and had the whole rock and roll look, and you know. And finally, her mom and dad asked me to come over.
Oh, wow.
On her 17th birthday. And they were having a party. So I said, okay, sure. So I knock on the door, and she answers, and she is just mortified. And I'm like, look, your parents invited me. It's okay. She says, no. She says, that's not the problem. I was like, oh, what? You broke up with me or what? You know, I don't know what's going on here. No, we have a ghost in the house. And he doesn't like mine or my sister's boyfriends.
Oh.
And I went, really? Let's go smoke another one. It's just a little ranch house, you know. So I come in, meet mom and dad, and we sit down on this couch. And you can see down the hallway, all the way, you see all the bedrooms, the bathroom and everything. And the master bedroom is at the end of the hallway facing us. And there's a mirror. I can see our reflection in it. Something kept breaking that image, walking past it. So I got up, went and tore the room apart. Nothing. Nobody there. So I started being young, dumb, and stupid, and started calling this thing out. And saying, do something, show me. Prove to me you're here. I don't believe in you.
Oh, wow.
And nothing happened for the rest of the evening until I went to leave. Standing at the front door in the living room, I bent down to kiss her goodnight, and when I did, something clamped onto my left arm. And I thought it was Dad, and I was kind of like, oh, hell, Dad's going to get after me now. Well, he's over here sitting in a lazy boy, and his eyes are like this big. He knows something's getting ready to happen. And before I can say anything else, I'm jerked backwards hard, and I go through the front door, through their screen door, and I landed about 6 feet out past the steps. That's how hard it was doing.
Wow.
And I remember laying there trying to feel what's working, what's not, what's broke, if anything, and trying to catch my breath. And I remember doing my hands going, yeah, I can feel them both. And, and I wiggled my toes, and then I thought, that was so effing cool. Do it again. So that was my first breach into the paranormal. Pretty violent, but
right,
that's what I was hooked on. And I, even though the young lady and I broke up, I was still considered like the oldest adopted son. So I got to spend a lot of time over there, and what we could figure out was that was the very first house in the neighborhood that was built. And the guy who built the neighborhood, he built the house for him and his wife. Well, she died of leukemia.
Aww.
There in the house. And then once he got subdivision finished, he blew his head off.
I did it.
Like I said, for about 10 years, I got to spend investigating that place. And then they sold it several times. They couldn't keep people in it. And still couldn't keep people in after that because they were renting it out.
Mm.
And, you know, let people know, hey, look, we think this place is haunted. Because in Kentucky, it is the law. You have to say you think your house is haunted because of the insurance. Otherwise, they can take you to court and get all their money back and sue you and everything else. So anyway, one day the house mysteriously just kind of burnt down.
Oh, mysteriously, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, the fire department said we can't find one reason why this house burned.
Oh, wow.
No accelerants, nothing like that. And, you know, so it's still a vacant lot to this day.
Oh, my. Have you been to the lot to see if there was still anything But sometimes, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's about a mile away from me. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is interesting.
And then the family I hadn't seen in about 30 years, and we reconnected a couple years ago, and they're moved way out, almost Shepherdsville here in Louisville, and got to finally see them after all these years.
Aww.
We sat down, talked about a lot of that stuff, and
nothing followed them, right?
Nothing that they know of.
Oh.
But that's like people ask me, don't you have everything ever follow you home? And my usual answer is, not unless I've been drinking.
Right? Oh, let me take another shot. Hang on just a second. I'll ask you.
This is gonna be a good show.
Oh, right? There we go. All right. So you found out that you could feel things and stuff through that. Do you have any other kind of like sensitivities or anything that helps you?
I am as psychic as a brick.
Yeah, me too. So that's why you really believe in it then, because you've had it happen to you on many occasions.
Yeah. I can a lot of times pretty much say, okay, figure out what's going on. This is why this is happening. Because a lot of people are just willing to jump to that ghost or demon explanation without
our shadows.
Yeah, without even blinking. And when I can't figure it out, that's when I'm like, okay, we got something here.
Right.
That's just like Rick Hayes and I last month did a teaching class at Post Town.
Oh, Post Town.
Post Town of Love. And got up here, and one of the people had my thermal imager, and they were upstairs with Rick, and he's saying, I'm getting two people. One's an older male, one's a younger daughter type person. And he says, and they're talking to me, and they took pictures with my FLIR, and guess what came up?
Oh, no way. Two.
Oh, yeah. Well, one is tall, and one is short.
Rick is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Rick's my buddy. I call him my uglier older brother.
I haven't seen him in forever either. I think the last time I saw him was at the Mid-South in 19.
Well, you can come to Ra's Opera House September 23rd.
What do I have? I don't know what I have the 23rd, so I'd have to look at it and see.
Well, then you'd get to see both of us.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to see you at SilCon.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you're going to see both of us.
That's true. You're also going to be going to Arkansas for Santi's thing, aren't you?
Uh-huh, yeah. In July. Yes, and, ma'am.
Oh, gosh, that's coming up.
Oh, yeah. His very first paranormal convention.
Oh, I hope he does really well on it.
Get to see my buddy John Dugan.
Yes, John. He is so fun.
Oh, yeah. John and I used to travel together because we had the same management, and we shared hotel rooms and, you know, stuff like that. You ever get to see him again or talk to him again, ask him about the night I almost shot the lady come in to clean our room.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I bet that was interesting on her behalf.
John tells it so much better than I do.
Well, he's a good storyteller. And those that don't know who John Dugan is, go watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the first one, and you'll see who he is. Grandpa Sawyer.
Grandpa Sawyer.
Very, very fun guy. Very interesting. He's had an interesting life.
Well, the thing of it is, people go, isn't he dead? He played Grandpa. He was only 17 when he did this. You know, he was a lot of makeup.
Yes, he was just a baby when he did that part. And
Gunnar Hansen was a great friend of mine. You know, when you get into the con business and everything, the convention business, not conning, but that's the wrong word, my bad. Anyway, it's nice to have somebody kind of show you the rooms.
Yeah.
That's what Gunner did for me. And he was one of the smartest men I ever met in my life. And for those that don't know who Gunner is, he played the original Leatherface.
Yeah.
Gone too soon.
Yeah. A lot of them have been gone too soon. It's amazing. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the one that hit really hard was Sid Haig. I've known Sid for a long time. Sid used to go ghost hunting with me. You know, so, and then him and Bill Mosley were here in Louisville doing a horror con. I was in Texas doing a horror con. Oh. Things just screwed up. And things were so bad with this promoter. Sid called me and says, "Hey, come and pick me and Bill up. There's no security. There's no nothing here," and da 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 da.
Wow.
I said, "I'd love to, but I'm in Texas." And he said, "Damn it, boy. You're supposed to be here."
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, but Sid was a great guy. And I got to see Bill Mosley a year after he died. So,
aww.
Got to speak a little bit about it and everything and gave a cheer to Sid.
Aw, wow. And those can be rough times. Well, you said you were we're gonna bounce back to your musical years. You said you were coming back from a tour at the age of 16. How long were you touring before?
I had started out. Like I said, I was playing locally when I was 12 years old in bars.
Wow.
And so then 4 years later, when I was 16, is when I started touring all over the world with different bands and stuff.
Where all have you been? Everywhere?
A little bit everywhere. I've never been to Russia.
Oh. I don't know if I'd want to go to Russia.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I'd like to see in Russia is Chernobyl.
Right. Yeah. Oh, can you imagine? Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
That's one of the things on my bucket list.
Would be interesting.
You know, there's very few places I've got left that I haven't been to. It's just like my buddy Del Kaczmarek is over in London right now, and it's first time he's gotten to go. And I've been there 5 times, and, you know, because I've been working, I don't get to go see a whole lot.
Right.
And it's like he sent me back pictures of where he went to Greyfriar Bobby's grave, and I always wanted to go see that.
Have you ever been to any of the concentration camps, like in Germany or here in the States?
Yeah. Oh,
you
yeah.
have?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, see, that's one of the places I want to go. Yeah.
I'm going to give you a hidden concentration camp here in America that you can go to.
Oh, really? Yes.
Pythian Castle.
Oh, I think I am going to be going to that in November.
Yeah. They actually shot several people who were supposed to be Nazis in the basement. They had cells down there. If you want to see more about it, go see mine and the Booth Brothers movie, Children of the Grave.
Children of the Grave. Yeah.
At the castle and some of the things we caught there.
Yeah, y'all can go see that on Spook TV.
Spook.org.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Spook.org. Yes, I'm sorry. Spook.org. And that's, you know, I've been trying to find The Exorcist, the one that they did on the original Exorcist with the boy. Yes.
The boy.
And I couldn't find it anywhere. And then I went there the other day and I saw it on there and I'm like, oh my God. Because saw the Pope's priest or the Pope's exorcist the other day.
Yeah, with Jim Long.
And it was like, oh my gosh. I wanted to see that because I've been really into exorcisms here lately. Don't know why. Just something has me on the edge.
Matter of point. Not only did they make A Haunted Boy, I was involved in it too.
Yes, you were. That's one of the reasons I mentioned it. But
a lot of people don't know that even I was the host of the series. I was also a producer of the series too.
Yep, and they have the original book, the original diary, don't they?
No, they
have they have a copy.
We tried to get the Vatican to let us look at the book, and they wouldn't do it. They refused.
They refused?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I wonder why.
Okay, either I've had too much to drink or you've changed.
I changed. Somebody's followed. So, I changed. I got. That's one of the awesome things about it. Oh, thank you for the follow. Appreciate it. If you have a question for Keith, make sure to put it in there, but be respectful, please. Well, I mean, he'll come at you no matter what you do, but.
Speaking of respectful, I love the t-shirt. Wish I could see more of it.
Thank you. You know, this man showed me this t-shirt at the Arkansas Expo, and I was like, man, I gotta get that t-shirt. And he was like, well, here, have two. And he gave me this one and another one. But
nice greasy old biker.
Coming to this t-shirt, you don't believe in orbs.
No, I do not. When you can prove something scientifically 99.9% of the time, or recreate it 99.9% of the time, it's not paranormal. You know, it's something natural. And to prove my point once, I actually went outside and had people follow me with cameras and went to a parking lot. You know how you can get parking lot dust?
Yeah.
Grabbed me a handful and said, okay, get the camera ready. And I said, 1, 2, 3, shoot. And when they did, I threw it up in the air, and guess what we got?
A bunch of dust.
bunch of orbs.
Well, dust.
But the big story, a lot of people, they asked me, said, were you really stabbed over an orb? Yes, I was. And a lot of people go, well, that's what turned you off. I said, no, that's what turned me off. It's the fact you can recreate it. And yet some people want to get up and go, oh, you know. And you know what you do with those people?
You just ignore them.
No, you shoot them.
You shoot.
Just put them out of their misery and your misery, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
But, no, we were at a convention in Ohio, and a lady walked up with a picture, which a lot of people do, and they, what do you think about this? And I try not to be blunt, or didn't try to be blunt back then, but I always explain to them what I really think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And when I explained to this woman that it was a dust orb, she went, that's my dead Aunt Petunia. And I went, okay. So I stood up, went to show her a little bit more, explained, you know. And next thing I felt was a right here.
Oh, my God.
And I looked down, and I've got a knife buried in my chest.
Wow. Over a fucking orb. Oh, my God.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey everybody, Angel Ray. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Shauna. She is going to be having a new podcast. Sounds like a lot of fun. I can't wait to be a guest on there myself. It's called Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. And you can catch her on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock Central Time on Para-X Radio Network.
That is... People are fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah, I went to swing, and I couldn't swing because it was an 8-inch blade that had now been jammed into my shoulder socket.
Oh, my God.
So I swung with my left arm and took her out, and the sheriff and them and the ambulance got there to take her out. And she just got out of prison after 17 years for attempted murder.
Is she like... She hasn't tried to come out to anything, has she?
No, not yet. But I still got the knife. I use it as my steak knife. It's 8 inch by 2 inches with a serrated blade on one side.
Where the hell was she hiding that thing?
She had it in her hand the whole time.
Oh my God. And nobody thought that that was a bad idea?
No.
Wow.
I remember after I popped her, one of my friends said, "Man, you damn near took her head off. Her jaw's broken at least two places."
That's good.
I did it with my bad arm, and they were going, "Are you ever going to sit down?" I was like, "Huh?" And I was trying to pull the knife out. And they're like, "No, just stop." You know?
Right.
But after the trial, I asked for the knife. But the sheriff officer said, "Sure, you can have it."
Oh,
so
wow.
Like I said, that's now my steak knife.
Oh, Johnny Montana has something to say. He said that the word paranormal is full of bad connotation because just because we don't understand something doesn't mean it's not normal. It's possible that something is purely natural and we just haven't explored it yet. Absolutely correct.
Totally agree with that.
Yes, exactly. And on that aspect, you know, have you ever considered like, I'm going back to orbs because I don't... Like, I've actually, oh God, I forgot the word I'm using. Look at you, you got me drinking rum and I forgot what I'm doing. on debunking, there we go. That's what I'm looking for. I go in and I debunk. I've had a lot of cases where they've come to me via Facebook and they're like, "This is an orb," and da da da. I'm like, "Oh, not really. You can see the wings right here, or you can see this right here." But I have.
It's got a face in it. Look, it's got a face in it.
No, but I have.
It's got a nucleus in it.
But I have seen one where this person was talking about the situation, and they were out in an open field, and you would think that out in an open field where dust and everything is going around, and they just got through asking a question, and this ball of light, this little mist formed, and then it was gone. Now, that to me, I consider an orb, but technically it's just like a ball of mist. It's like energy. Now, what?
I've got one photograph that I call an orb. I've got an orb shot, and that was at Waverly Hills in 1999. Opened a door going up in a stairwell, and there was this, it looked like a ball of light on the landing. And I took a shot of it with no flash. And of course, this thing has just got the whole place lit up.
Wow.
And when it looks back, it looks like it's a sideways bell. It's not completely circular. You cannot see through it. You can tell it's giving off its own light. So that was my only orb picture out of the thousands of pictures I've shot. And then one night I was giving a tour at Waverly Hills with about 25 cops walking behind me. And I was walking backwards, talking to them. And next thing I know, they're all drawing their guns and pointing them at me. And I'm like, "What? Whoa, wait a minute. Oh, hey," you know. And they said, "Turn around." I turn around and look, and there is this ball of light that it's there for a moment in the hallway. And then it zips on down the hallway. It's lighting up the hallway as it's going down.
Oh, my God.
So that goes back to what Mr. Montana was saying. We don't know what that is. It might be normal. It might be paranormal. But it also might be something totally scientific. And I am not a scientist. Mm-mm. I have had scientists up there with me. Meteorologists, which are basic scientists, were walking through with me at Waverly Hills once. And it was 84 degrees, hot, steamy. And we walked into a spot where it dropped down to 30 plus degrees. And he looked at me and said, "What the hell is going on?" And I'm like, "You're the scientist. You tell me." I wish you would.
Right? Thank you for the lure, Cal. No, I agree. And they have even kind of... I can't remember what scientist it was, but they have come to the conclusion that there is energy after death, that the energy Correct. Comes out of the body after death, and where it goes, they don't know.
And if you want proof of that, there's a great shot of that where a deer was run over by a car. It tries to get up several times, and it lays down. And then when you see it finally take its last breath, a few seconds later, this burst of energy comes out of it flying away.
Oh.
Let's go. I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
That's a great example of that.
Yeah. And a lot of people thought that one with the mouse, too, where it was caught in the mouse trap and it dies and you see the energy come out of it. A lot of people thought that was faked.
Yeah, well, same way with this thing with the deer, but it's night image and there's no way to actually shoot.
No.
You can tell if it's been manipulated. Stab me over a friggin' orb. So.
Right? So what methods do you use when you go out and investigate?
As scientifically as I can, even though I'm not a scientist, a lot of times I use FLIR, because that is a science. It's hard to get up here and explain if you capture something.
Right. So you keep do you keep like a documentation aside from video, or is it just all video? Video and audio.
Video and audio. Yeah, basically. If you don't get it on film, basically, or audio, as far as I'm concerned, it didn't happen. It was a personal experience.
Yep. And it's hard to confirm personal experiences.
Well, it's the same thing with psychic ability.
Yeah.
I can't quantify either one of them.
Right.
Again, science is not to that point. It's getting closer, as far as the psychic abilities. To be able to read things. Capel came up with a device I had him build for me for the possessed that we used on Rick Hayes, where basically Rick put his hand down on this glass and it read his heartbeat and like seven different things.
Oh, wow.
To see if we could get some type of thing, if he said he was getting a reaction. Well, when he started talking to the little girl that he said he was talking to, his heart was racing, his blood pressure dropped, and yet he's excited, but his blood pressure dropped.
And
various different things, and we're filming all this, and the boot cutter stuff. And next thing I know, we're looking at this thing, and it flatlines everything. And me and Bill Chappell just look at each other, and we're going, oh my God, and we're looking up, Rick's still talking. He's still moving. His hand is on the glass plate, and Bill says, let me recalibrate it real quick. Recalibrated, nothing. Still saying the man's dead.
Oh, my God.
He's still just talking away to this little girl, and then got up here and recalibrated one more time, and it all came back online. All his stuff that was reading on him were, same as what it was before. So... yeah.
Wow. Oh, my. So how...
Chris Boone looked at me and goes, there, you happy? You finally killed him.
You killed him. But he was still talking. He was a zombie.
don't laugh. Go talk to Scotty Rourke. He'll tell you, I shot a psychic once.
You shot a psychic?
That's what Scotty Rourke will tell you.
Oh, my gosh. Who was it you shot, Keith?
I did not shoot her. Shot over her head.
But he says you shot her.
He says I shot her. Person wanted to go to a place here locally, which is just an old family cemetery back in the woods. You might have heard of it. It's called the Gates of Hell.
Oh, yeah.
Just an old cemetery back in the woods. You're going to get bugs. You're going to get things that look like, demon flyer.
Yeah.
Anyway, I arranged it, and you got to drive back this old gravel dirt road and get to like a little parking area. And the cemetery is up on the hill above you. Well, she gets there in a 16-passenger van, and all these people get out and come around to where I'm standing. And then she comes out, and I stick my hand out, shake her hand. And before I know it, she's on the ground going, "Oh, St. Michael, there's too much dark energy. Help me, St. Michael." And she's just writhing around, and I'm like, okay. I'm like, you haven't even hit the cemetery yet. You're in a parking lot. And all these people kneel down beside her, and they put one hand on her and one hand up in the air. Remember Ghost of Mr. Chicken? The movie? Remember that?
Where they're praying.
Where the other, they go, Tara, Tara. Doing it when touching Don Knott. That's what I'm looking at.
Oh, my God.
And she's just writhing around and everything. And one of my guys from the LGHS looks over at me and he goes, "Hey, dude, what are we going to do if she really needs medical help?" I said, "She's going to fucking die then, because I ain't giving her mouth to mouth." So this went on a few more minutes. And I got tired of it. And, I pulled my gun out and I shot it up in the air. And I mean, everything stopped.
Oh, I bet it did.
As soon as that hammer hit that shell, everything stopped. And she looked up at me, didn't say a word. And everybody got back on the bus and they left. And I said, "Well, that's the first time I've ever seen a demon run from a .45.
But well, that's one way to root out the snakes, isn't it?
Yeah, Scotty Wark will tell you I shot her.
Well, you didn't shoot a psychic, you shot a fraud.
No, I didn't shoot.
No, you didn't shoot anybody.
Maybe a bird in the air.
Oh, my goodness. Well, during your...
Now you see why I've got the reputation I've got.
Yep. You got to have those stories, though, Keith. You're legendary.
I don't know about that, but okay.
So, during your whole career of investigating, how has your methods changed over the years?
Well, not a whole lot, honestly, because we haven't found anything new in a long time. Mm-hmm. And when I first started doing this, if you said you were out hunting for ghosts, you had the little men in the white coats with the big nets running behind you. You know, and, you know, I'll still use a bag of flour if somebody says, "Hey, we're getting something walking down this hallway, and it's a wooden hallway."
Mm-hmm.
A wooden floor. I'll throw flour down.
Yep.
Let's see if something walks through. I can't afford rice paper.
Right.
You know, I'll go get a $3 bag of flour and a vacuum cleaner ready to clean it up.
Yeah.
After I get photos or something.
Oh, like yeah. And, definitely.
You know, so I'll still do that. But, you know, science is trying to catch up, you know. And, you know, we used to go out with reel-to-reel tape recorders that you had to plug in to record stuff. And then we went to portable cassettes. And then, and then now we've gone digital. And the microphones on these Zooms, anything you get by Zoom is just great for them, as far as the recording. And TAC is another good one, but I really like Zoom. I used TAC for years because that's what we use in the music field.
Right.
That was one of the brand names. And it was always a good, trusted product. But Zoom, Lord, we use HN8, which has the recorders on it, but also has a camera on it.
Oh, I didn't know it had a camera on it.
Oh, yeah. And you can actually plug, it's got two onboard mics, but then you can plug two more mics, two hot mics with cables on them, you know, XLR cables, put them wherever you want them, or go straight into a mixing board or whatever you want. And the sound is just awesome.
Oh.
And, you know, I hate green night shot. I hated it from day one. And the cameras that we're now using for night shot are all black and white. And it's just so much more crisp.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, if people are out there inventing things like Bill Chappell, who is a scientific engineer, but people that try to create stuff, I'm like,
right?
Keep thinking, go out of the box. You know, everything that we started using for this was designed for something else. The EMF meters were designed for the original Kelvinator refrigerators, not microwaves. Microwaves hadn't been invented yet.
Oh, wow.
For another 40 years. But the original EMF meter was designed for the original refrigerators. And if you go look at a refrigerator nowadays, you put an EMF meter up to it, and it'll peg. It'll scream. Because it does give off radioactivity. And
yeah.
I love people who go, there's something in my kitchen, but I don't know what it is. I'm like, do you sit close to your refrigerator? Right next to it. You ever heard of a fear cage? No. Well, guess what you're sitting in?
Oh, yep, yep.
I don't like using the K2s.
I am not a proponent of the K2, mainly because a lot of people like it because they saw it on TV.
Yeah.
And they had to have it. And they spent a lot of money on it. And you know what? You can go to your local hardware store and get an ELF meter.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing. It's $20. It just has two less lights. But yeah. It's the same damn thing.
It's like the motion sensor that for like REM pods. I go to Lowe's and just grab a $20 motion sensor.
Well, that's another bee in my bonnet when it comes to REM pods. Most of them are not shielded.
Mm-mm.
And just having a cell phone anywhere near it will set it off. People go, well, I'm not using my cell phone. Doesn't matter. While the cell phone is working, it's giving off radiation. Why do you think they've done extending studies on what radiation can do to your brain from cell phone usage?
Yeah.
Because it does give out radiation. And that's like people to go, oh, I have an app. Really? You got a game. That's all you got.
Yeah.
This cell phone is not designed to do what this app is telling you it's going to do. It's like, I've got an EMF meter on an app. Really, let's put it to a test. You get up there and take an old Dr. Gauss meter, handheld meter, and you put your app on, and let me hit one note on an amplifier from a guitar, and put your little app up to it and watch what happens. Nothing. Doesn't do nothing. Okay? The minute you turn that amplifier on, that Gauss meter starts screaming.
Wow.
It's electromagnetic energy. It's what it's giving off. That's what it's reading. That's why amplifiers are so heavy. The speakers have magnets on them. They're yay big. That's why you don't put an amplifier anywhere near a TV. It'll drain the color out.
Yep.
Especially on the old tube TVs.
Oh, gosh.
It'll still, even on the newer stuff, it'll still affect them.
Yep.
A new TV real quick.
Ugh.
Know your craft is
my yeah, exactly.
Thing. I always tell everybody, know what it does, what it was built for, how it works, and why it works.
Yep.
And then people go, well, you get great photographs. I'm like, look, I was a photography major.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm kind of proud of that fact, and I've won awards, and I'm happy you think I got great shots, but when it comes to the paranormal shots we got, we've been lucky. That's all there is to it. Because I can't get up and go, I'm over here. And
right.
People to do that.
Do I have to say it? You shoot them. Hi, Jasper. How are you?
I truly believe there are some people. Like I said, I am not anti-psychic. Okay, I'll say that.
Me
right
neither.
I'm anti-idiot.
Yep.
And there are a lot out there that want to be psychics, think they're psychics.
They're not.
Or they just got their hand out, waiting for your money to put it in. And those are the ones that give psychics a bad
yes.
name. But you have true people have a psychic phenomena ability. Rick Hayes is one of them. Scotty Rourke's another. Chris Fleming and I have been friends for a long, long time. I believe in their abilities. But I've also known them enough to where when they get tired, things it doesn't come through as much. And that's why you try to get them when they're fresh and work out stuff. I know a lot of people. And last month, I had a person whose mother was very, very sick. And she's very, very famous. And she called me and she said, I want a reputable psychic. Well, I said, let me give you. And she said, I don't want to talk to them. She said, I want to go between you and them. I was like, okay, fine. She says, because once they hear my voice, they'll know who I am. And I don't want to go through all that.
All right. Fine.
So I called Rick, told him what was going on, explained a little few things about it. Didn't say nothing about the whole talking to him other than the fact that they want to go through me to you. And I said, can you do anything? And he's like, yeah. And he started talking, telling me what he's feeling. And then he said, does this person have long black hair at times? And he says, he told me who it was. And he told me what to tell her as far as what was going to be happening to her mother. And, you know, it's hard to kind of tell. But the cool thing was at that time, he said, it's not going to happen now. You have some time. Just prepare yourself, be at peace, do as much with her as you can when you can. And she did. And then about 3.5-4 weeks later, she died. But she still has me contact Rick, you know. But I believe, you know, Rick has proven not so much. I mean, you know, I have gotten up there and played tricks on Rick. Unmerciful stuff. I even posed as Rick once to a guy who was just ready to blow his head off because he was so upset.
Oh, wow.
Rick wasn't at his table. And this guy was just acting fidgety and crazy. And I went over and said, can I help you? He said, thank God you're here. I finally get to talk to you. And we sit down, and I'm holding his hand, talking to him. And I played the game. You know, I've seen this game for almost 50 years and got him all calmed down and everything. And he said, I said, you feel better now? He goes, I feel so much better. And I was like, great. Well, he takes his money out and he starts paying me. Well, I look up, Rick's walking down the aisle. I said, no, keep your money. Give it to the real psychic. So I'm not psychic, bud. I just saw you were in distress. What do you mean? I said, here's the real psychic. And I really feel that. You know, Scotty's the same way. You know, a little joke will cut up. But when it comes to the real deal, they don't bullshit. It's that simple.
Right.
They don't try to lead you on. They tell you what they think. I said, the picture that we got up in Post Town. You know, it's exactly what Rick said he was seeing, what he was describing. I'll send it to you when we get out of here so you can see it.
Awesome. I can't wait to see it. Well, I know our time is coming to an end, but I want you to promote what you've got coming up and what you want to get out to people.
Okay. First thing I got coming up is in July with Santiago Cirillo. Is Paranormal Con in Arkansas. Got that. And then August 12th, we've got a meet and greet. It's free at the Hannah House in Indianapolis. It's a one-day event. It draws about 1,800 to 2,500 people because it is free. You come set up for like $20 if you got a table or something. I do it every year. I've been doing it for quite a long time. That's my buddy Jason Snyder's gig. I call him my little brother. And then after that, we will be filming at the Bell Mansion for the season 1 final episode. And we are inviting people to come along if you want. It's only $50. And you're at the Bell Mansion, Fort Wayne. This place is 15,000 square feet, 4 floors, and a basement. And it was a speakeasy, a funeral home. It's beautiful inside. Well, the last time I was there was with Santiago Cirillo and Jason Snyder. We got some killer stuff.
Oh, gosh, I bet you did.
Great EVPs, and the Angie Sturm, who owns it, and her crew are just top-notch, and we're happy to go back filming it. And like I said, for $50, you can investigate the place with us from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m., and you might be on TV. So, you know.
So yeah, y'all should go.
Yeah, and then we got SailCon coming up. You and I both will be at.
Yep, well, I will. I'll be there.
That's up in Illinois. It's in Effingham. It will be at a mall. Another free event that I have been doing for years that I love. Becky Castillo, who puts this on, works her tail off to get this done.
Yep.
Like I said, the first one, the mall that she had it in, the mall was almost dead. All the big major chains had pulled out. And then all of a sudden, with her help, it kind of breathed life back into the place. Radio Shack was the biggest store there at the time.
Wow.
And they were like, what do we do? I said, sell batteries. Sell your radios. I said, here you go, flashlights.
Mm-hmm.
Put them all on sale just for this event. And they made a killing. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's come a long way since then. She's had to move it from that mall. Because they don't like devil worshipers.
Yeah, because that's what we are. We're all devil worshipers.
Right. And so it's now in Effingham, Illinois.
Effingham.
And if anybody wants to get a hold of me, look me up on Facebook.
Yep. And where can they find, can they get those tickets off of your Facebook, or do they go to a website?
For Bell Mansion?
Mm-hmm.
All they gotta do is direct message me and I'll give them all the info.
Sweet. Yep. Well, Keith, thank you so much for coming on today and spending your 1 hour with me. I appreciate it.
And you know that.
Yes, and definitely gonna have to get you back on here for you and Pat to be on here at the same time.
Yep. That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
One last shot. Thank you, dear.
One last shot. All right. 1 second. Let me grab my Malibu.
Okay. I'll make it 2 shots then.
Let me get 2 shots. Let me get
right. One. Ready?
Ready. Cheers.
Love
you too. Stick around for just a moment. Let me get this ended real quick. You guys, every Sunday, 3 o'clock, I'm here, Central Time. However, I do adjust times for guests. Next week will be Johnny Hauser from the Liska Axe House Murder House. He'll be on at 7 p.m. Central Time, so come back and tune in. If you miss it or you come in on the ass end of this show, just come back an hour or so. It'll be up there. I mean, geez, it's going to be up there for a couple of days, and I'll take it down and then put it up somewhere else. So thank you, Keith, again for coming on. I appreciate you. I love you. Everybody else, see y'all later.
Peace.
And we're clear. Thank you for coming to this episode of Exploring the Paranormal Perspective, where I interviewed Keith Age. It was a lot of fun, and I will be going to this event, so I hope to see some of you out there. Again, message Keith Age. He's one of my buddies on my Facebook page at Shaw Wooten. And get your tickets. See you later. Bye, y'all. Exploring the Paranormal Perspective.